This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Now, we've covered this on a couple of occasions as it started, as it developed. Now we have an outcome, and I'd like, Tash, this is something you've been running with. I'll let you do the intro.
We have Reverend Sharon Hollis in the studio. Reverend Hollis. Sharon, good morning to you.
Morning to you. Morning to your listeners.
Sharon is actually the national moderator for the Uniting Church.
Just Victoria.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And Tasmania.
Oh, I've elevated you to a national role.
We've given you a promotion.
I am taking up the national role in 2 years, but I probably better not rush there.
Okay.
I didn't realise that. I apologise.
That's all right.
And I've been talking you up as being the national person for quite... It's like the president.
Questions will be asked.
So we've been following very closely what's been occurring in the Uniting Church. First of all, congratulations on the church's initiative to allow for same-sex marriages to take place where the parishes allow that to happen.
Thank you.
But you had a little bit of a snag, I understand.
We did.
So what happened?
Well, the Constitution of the Uniting Church allows, it's a sort of mathematical formula around state or regional bodies being allowed to challenge national decisions, and they've got 6 months to do that, and seven, what we call presbyteries, their regional councils, did that in three synods, and they needed a presbytery in South Australia, if it had agreed to challenge it as well, would have got it to that magic number where we would have had to reconvene the assembly and rediscuss it. But that presbytery came to the decision that they didn't want to challenge the decision. So it's continuing apace. So no, it's no change.
So that means that's it? It's locked in?
That's it. It's locked in. I mean, you know, people could always revisit it in 3 years, but I don't think there's any appetite for that. So we've already had a number of same-gender weddings, and they've been everything from very small and intimate to very large and amazing celebrations, but each one of them's been really joyous. There's been a sense of this has been long waited for, long hoped for, and so when the moment finally arrives that...
We did get a little bit nervous in our household, mm-hmm. because we've actually been invited to a wedding that's to take place in Uniting
yes.
Church in Brunswick.
Yes.
Not for a few months, yes,
no.
But when this came up, we became a bit anxious that we essentially may have to have a wedding in a park instead,
yes.
which is not quite what they they're envisaging on having.
Yeah, a lot of us were crossing our fingers and wondering what would happen, and I know, I do want to acknowledge that for people particularly who... in good faith, booked weddings in the Uniting Church, it was a very painful
process. Yeah, it'd be pretty stressful.
Oh, very stressful. So in our synod, we had offered to pay for a civil celebrant if both the church and the couple were happy to continue down that track. We were willing to fund a civil celebrant to conduct the wedding and have the minister bless that if that's what they wanted. So, but we're relieved that we don't have to do that.
Mm.
Can I ask, Sharon, it's been a very interesting journey for the Uniting Church, for our community, for the LGBTI community. Were you surprised that, when you reached a decision as a church to allow marriage equality, were you surprised... then, were these voices, that spoke against it, did they make the case before you made the decision and then they came back and said, oh, well, actually, we want to revisit this? How did it work? I mean, you made a decision, but were they objecting? Were some of these parishes objecting before the decision was made originally?
Certainly. When we met in July last year to make this decision, those voices were present in the meeting, and they've been present, I mean, one way or another. We've been discussing the question of the inclusion of LGBTIQ people in the Uniting Church for 20 years, I guess, and in a way, the question about whether we would allow both congregations and ministers to marry gay and lesbian people was almost the last decision. Mm. So we some years ago made a decision that it was possible for LGBTI people to exercise ordained ministry. We've long said that LGBTIQ people are fully members of our church. They can participate in all everything that the church does. We've our service agencies for a very long time have had inclusive employment practices and so on. So this, in a way, was the last thing. So I suspect that perhaps accounts for some of the energy around challenging it. That now that this has been allowed, in a way, around questions of at that kind of formal level, I think there's not really many more decisions. And I don't know. I think if you've ever studied change, processes of change, there's always
of course
resistance. And we have said in the Uniting Church that people that don't agree with this decision can continue to be members of the Uniting Church, and we seek to live in mutual trust, respect for each other, which, you know, in times like this gets very difficult when we don't, when it gets very heated, but that's the position we're at.
So the interesting thing about the decision is, as it stands now, is that it still does allow for some parishes and for some ministers to continue to discriminate. Mm. How does that sit with the overall philosophy of being an inclusive church?
Look, I think for some people it's very hard. There were some people at Assembly, particularly from the LGBTIQ community, that would have preferred us not to have that. Mm. For myself, I think it's actually, I think it's honest. In some ways, I'd prefer us to have this position than to pretend we didn't have people that were opposed to LGBTIQ people and aren't willing to at least marry them, or will place caveats on their inclusion. Because I think there'd be nothing worse than, you know, us proudly proclaiming we're a fully inclusive church and a gay or lesbian person or a transgendered person rocking up to their congregation only to discover the complete opposite is true. So for me, I think I'm not interested in not being honest with the queer community. I think there are many, many congregations that strive to be fully inclusive and that are doing the hard work. And I think even communities that have begun that journey, we've still got ways to go and work to do. But I'd rather we're honest about that. Mm. I'd rather we're honest that we're not all at the same point, and that if you are...
And that you're a broad church, so
are,
to speak.
Yeah. But also if you're from the LGBTIQ community and you're interested in faith and you want to come to the Uniting Church, I think it says... unfortunately, the onus is back on a community that's really... suffered a lot of discrimination, but do check us out. Make sure you kind of check, go to the right church, because I don't want you to be further damaged. Mm.
The truth is, though, that it's unlikely that anybody would approach a church without having had some sort of relationship with them, or a minister for that matter, to conduct their service or conduct their marriage. It's you know, you're more likely to have a relationship with them or get to know them and establish whether there can be some rapport and can be some integrity in the way in which the whole thing can unfold.
I think that's certainly true, particularly in the city where you've got choices. I think perhaps in the country, you know...
A bit difficult,
More difficult. Mm. And lots of country communities are fully inclusive too, so I don't want to give the impression they're all conservative, but... I think it is just a signal to people that we're a diverse church and we're not all at the same point on this. And for me, there's an integrity in that honesty. Mm. I don't want to pretend we're not what we are.
I mean, it's always going to be a challenge in those areas where that parish decides, and how do they decide that? So who decides, you know, so... You know, let's say Collingwood is a parish.
Mm.
How does Collingwood decide, yes, they will carry out these marriages or no, they won't? How do they work that out?
Well, there's two different decisions. So the minister themselves can make a decision, makes a decision, and the congregation can't bind the minister. So it's up to the minister in conscience to decide what they'll do. And then the congregation, usually the church council or sometimes the whole congregation will have a meeting and they'll put a proposal. And for many congregations, that's been a fairly simple decision. They've, in a way, because, as I say, because we've been discussing it for 20 years, they almost knew where they sat, even if they hadn't articulated it. For other congregations, it's been quite a struggle, and they've had quite a bit of education and learning and thinking through. And there are some congregations that... you know, say, look, we haven't had a wedding in our church for 10 years. We don't think a gay wedding's going to break the drought.
Yeah. That's right.
So you are the first church in Australia.
Well, actually, I have to say a shout-out to the Quakers, the Society of Friends.
Oh, yes,
the
Society of Friends.
Who have been completely at the forefront of... I mean, they are a remarkable community, and they were the first kind of... denomination. And there's the Metropolitan City Church, which
of course, is, yes, we know them.
So they were obviously on board. And I think there's another a couple of other independent churches, but as a denomination, certainly where we've been amongst the leaders, following in the footsteps of the Quakers.
And have you had any interest from any of the other big denominations about how they might be able to do this?
Not really, no.
Silence?
No. I do know a couple of Anglican dioceses have had conversations about blessing, so people that might, say, get married civilly, blessing those civil marriages. But beyond that, no, I don't think... I'm not sensing an appetite for that conversation in many other denominations.
Which is really strange, considering, that LGBTI folk are God's work.
Mm. I guess...
Like, why would you... why would you, obviously if your position is that we're not God's work, I'm not saying we're the other side,
the devil's work.
The devil's work, but, we're God's work, and, you would probably know better than me how much of the Bible is dedicated to homosexuality. It's about 0.002%, three decimal places, the wrong way.
Mm.
So wasn't that important. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. But, when an organisation makes a decision to do it, and then, yes, there is some disagreement and dissent, you have a process, you go through that process. The numbers at the end of the day, there wasn't sufficient. Mm. But those parishes still have the right. Whilst I might say, well, either the church is in or out, I accept that a particular parish in this test said, well, why would you want to get married in a church that the minister didn't want to marry you?
Yeah. Mm.
Or that you weren't welcome. Like, life is full of compromise, but I think the outcome you've got is pretty good.
Mm. I think so too. But I think that, the Uniting Church has had taken a different position on the full inclusion of LGBTIQ people for a long time.
Yeah, this is only one...
Which is why other churches, I think, aren't ready to do that yet. They're willing to welcome LGBTIQ people, but for many of them it's on terms that say they have to be celibate. So that disallows marriage.
Yes, it does. It does. Sharon, I think that this is an absolute inspiration.
Yes.
I think the Uniting Church has really provided a good benchmark. I know that you're not the first, obviously, but it certainly does provide a good benchmark for a whole range of other churches to learn and draw from.
It's good.
So I'd like to offer you my congratulations.
Thank
you for being a real champion of what we think is a great cause.
Yeah, thanks for staying the course.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.